Hi, I'm Kavon.
And I'm Keith.
And we're After Seven. And you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music.
Hey there, I'm Wesley Ryan, and you're listening to The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, the podcast and radio show full of uplifting songs and the inspiring stories behind them. One of the most rewarding things about doing this show is the opportunity to not just talk to the artists that defined my musical childhood, but to also hear that they are still making incredible music. And that is certainly the case for the ridiculously talented group of guys I'm so thrilled to spotlight this week. Growing up, brothers Kavon and Melvin Edmonds, together with Keith Mitchell, gave us so many great R&B songs to sing along to as the vocal powerhouse group After Seven. These days, they've not only picked up a new member in Jason Edmonds, they've also released a brand new album that is, as the name suggests, timeless. I am so excited to play tracks from that new album for you in the next hour, as well as share my interview with After Seven's Keith and Kavon. But before we do that, I need to take us all back to my favorite era of music and play two of After Seven's earliest hits from the late 80s and early 90s. Spoiler alert, it's about to get super soulful and sexy, so fasten your seatbelts. With In the Heat of the Moment and Ready or Not, this is After Seven.
Kavon Edmonds and Mr. Keith Mitchell on the line with you from After Seven.
Fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're good. Very good.
The same. Fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you guys for taking the time to chat with me. I've been fans for a long time.
Oh, well, good deal. Lovely.
The first thing I want to talk about is your new single, Too Late. I just watched the video. Tell me a little bit about recording that song.
That was a song that was written by my nephew, David Edmonds. He wrote, produced, and actually performed it with us. Yeah, I felt like that was something since he had such a strong ownership and feel for the song, and because I also knew that he could sing, that I said, why not make this a family affair? And that's really kind of how we approached it. They cut the song in Brandon's way. He flew in from Vegas because he lives in Vegas, but we came in. Everybody kind of converged. We kind of put this whole record came together. The entire record came together as we kind of piecemealed it together at different times. 3 or 4 days here. I wish we had 5 days straight. We never had 5 days straight when we went in to record, but it was a fun process. It was good to have see my nephew in there kind of exploring, his skill set, and it came together well, I think.
Well, I definitely want to talk more about the new album, Timeless, but a large part of my show is talking about the influences that inspired the artists I talked to. So I'd love to know who some of the artists were who inspired you guys growing up.
It's a mirage of artists that could probably take you back to Sam Cooke, take you to The Temptations, move you forward to Donnie Hathaway, Marvin Gaye, that whole Motown scene, to the Supremes. I mean, all of those old icons. We were little tots, but they were affecting, what we had a fondness for, along with the other artists as we became teenagers that bled into our blood, into harmony, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Stevie Wonder. It's all that.
Yeah, it's a potpourri of different artists who have shined their flavor, their style, their approach towards music at that time that, you don't know necessarily when it's all happening that it is influencing you as much as it does, but there are definitely these standout, individuals or artists at the time. I know for me, I had developed an affinity for Nat King Cole, for Johnny Mathis, just because each of them just had their very own unique sound as individuals stand alone, I think we were also heavily influenced by the Gladys Knights of life, the Marvin Gaye's, and all those many stand-up male vocal groups who had an opportunity to have their music play at radio back then. Yeah, they and often most of them had, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 hits easily, you know. And so all that kind of, you know, just kind of helped shape us, caused us to lean toward that good sound of R&B.
Well, you know, that was such a great Motown era of music, but, you know, I'm a child of the 90s, so Tony, En Vogue, Jodeci, you know, After Seven, those are the groups that really impacted my childhood. So I'd love to know what some of your favorite After Seven tracks were.
How Do You Tell the One? These are some of the sleepers that people don't know. I mean, they were on the projects, but, you know, of course, Ready or Not. I mean, all the obvious ones, I think, you know, you have, but there are some that...
Truly Something Special?
Truly Something Special. I will tell you, I also really loved what we did with the Beverly Hills 90210 project, Not Enough Hours in the Night by Diane Warren, written by her. But, you know, it was songs like that.
Of course, the classics, you know, the Can't Stop, Ready or Not, Give Me a Moment, Baby, I'm For Real.
Right. But there was a song by John B., How Did He Love You? Loved that song. We never got deep enough into the album in terms of releasing them as singles. But, you know, there are certain songs that just really sit nicely on your spirit, you know.
Listening to Keith and Kevon share their favorite After Seven songs reminded me just how many great tracks they've recorded over the years, and how I would also have a hard time just picking one or two of my own favorite After Seven tunes. Luckily, since we're in the midst of an hour-long tribute I've created for the group, I get to play all of my favorites. Some you've already heard, and some of the ones Keith and Kevon mentioned will get a closer look later in the hour. But for now, here is an After Seven trifecta of Keith and Kevon and Wesley Ryan favorites, starting with one written by another of my favorite soulful crooners, the incredible John B. This is After Seven with How Did He Love You?
I'm so glad you mentioned Not Enough Hours in the Night. I was a huge fan of 90210, bought the soundtrack, and that's actually how I discovered you guys and then went back and found the rest of your music. So what was it like to be a part of that huge, you know, pop phenomenon of the 90s with 90210?
Well, you know, we didn't really get a chance to get the full brunt of what was going on with that because we were like, you know, there's primary, secondary, and tertiary, different levels. I think we might have been on the tertiary rung of getting involved in that project, but that was a phenomenon. You know, Beverly Hills 90210, it was the scandal or whatever, all these wonderful TV shows they got nowadays. It was the show. Yeah. But it was, you know, anytime we could be a part of something greater than ourselves, we were always, you know, glad to do so outside of just us creating our music for ourselves, you know. Whether it was for a soundtrack, Sugar Hill was Gonna Love You Right, to Nights Like This from the Five Heartbeats, you know, we were always pretty game. Oh, I can't wait to kiss you again.
Well, you know, I've read that you talked about, you know, being new in the music scene and really finding your sound the more albums you released. So I'd love to know what you learned from making and releasing Timeless, your latest album.
This was an album that wasn't playing, quite honestly, wasn't it? We didn't all converge and come together and say, let's do an album. Time has passed. We didn't know what we were going. We thought, you know, let's try a few songs. Let's stick our toe in the water. And our intent was to do a singles deal. So after you got educated on the fact that, you know, listen, your fan base is not going to purchase singles. Your fan base will buy albums. So if you're going to do anything, you have to create an album. And that's when the decision was made to do an album. it was almost like going back in time, except that Daryl Simmons and my brother Face, they've been working nonstop. So the art of recording and the the speed of light, that's what it felt like to us. Of what,
the writing skills so fast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of how they work. I mean, it's like, okay, we're just trying to catch up. We've been away from recording for 20 years, collectively. So a lot of growth in here, you know, a lot of growth, even in this little time frame. But what makes a situation like that okay, even when you feel like it's somewhat familiar, but still at the same time feeling somewhat uncharted, watered, it's okay when you got family, because, you know, they can, you know, hey, look, snap out of it, water head, boy, get on back in there and go do the work. Or, you know, you can joke and kid and play, and there's nothing, you know, it's loose enough for you to relax and know that, you know, hey, at the end of the day, we're going to stick in here, we're going to get it done. And that's kind of basically what happened with us.
I absolutely love how organic and successful the creation of this album was. Dipping our toes back into the success of our past doesn't always work out. Sometimes the possibilities of the prospect are too scary for us to even go there. And sometimes when we do, it's disappointing to be unable to capture the magic of what we used to have. But I can confidently say that After 7 not only managed to recreate that magic, with tracks like the one you're about to hear, they've crafted some of the best music of their entire careers. With the top 10 smash that brought After 7 back to the airwaves, here they are with the smooth and soulful I Want You.
One of the things I love about my generation is that we do still want the album. We want that collection of songs that tell a story. So what is it like to have released it and then to have such a warm response, have your songs chart and just your fans love the new music?
It is strongly a part of our own amazement as well, because a lot of times when people make albums, they write and record, you know, a little small body of work. It may be 20 songs or 25 songs, and you pick 10, 12. Well, in this case, we presented 10 songs. We recorded 10 songs. There's 10 songs on the album. And you have to understand, there wasn't no planning behind the songs before the decision was made to do this. So this all happened kind of organically as we made trips back and forth to L.A. And to see it come together. And now as we sit back and we've listened to the album, we've seen singles become top 10 singles off the album. And you've heard it enough. It's like someone made an observation the other day about the amount of times that you will hear the word time.
The reference of time.
You can go back to our first songs, and as you listen to lyrics, you're going to hear time mentioned over and over again. And, you know, time is something that we've always characterized our perception of our music as we describe it for ourselves. Timeless kind of birthed itself. But then again, it really didn't, because we know behind that is God, because he has laced so many, if not everything that has happened in this project has been more God. It had really nothing to do with us other than us showing up and doing what he had given us already gifts to do. We know that it's all backed by, you know, God's forces and our moms who have been prayer warriors their whole lives. Put their prayer and love on this project and on us as individuals and on Babyface, on all of us. It's amazing.
The gratitude Keith and Kevon expressed towards everyone who's influenced their lives and careers gave me an even greater level of respect for them than I already had. I have no doubt that positivity is a lot of what kept their fans clamoring for even more new music and led to two more top 10 singles from a truly timeless album. With the second single from that album, which, if you've missed my not-so-subtle clues, is indeed called Timeless, this is After 7 with Runnin' Out.
Well, you know, just your voices are so incredible. It was great to have the original trio back. What's it been like to add Jason to that mix?
I think it's been a wonderful addition. Jason, quite honestly, has been out here on the road with us for the last probably 10 years, probably 8 to 10 years easily, as we've done live performances. And so it's a great thing for me as his uncle to watch him grow and to watch him become more seasoned as a vocalist. I was so highly impressed with his vocal delivery on the song that he leads called Everything on this album. You know, typically the formula is somebody does a verse, another one does a verse, and I take the bridge because the bridge usually goes up a little higher. And I was like, amen, amen. Jason sang the song all the way through. I didn't have to come in on the bridge. He killed the bridge. He sang that song from top to bottom his way, and it felt really, really good. So having him a part and showing up, you know, in the way that he did on this project, just speaks volumes to the talent that's in there, the time it takes to develop and grow, you know.
You just heard After 7 with Everything, featuring vocals from their newest member, Jason Edmonds. Jason's inclusion and the special new quality he's added to an already amazing group dynamic highlights one of the things I love most about groups like After 7. Their voices, their talent, and their spirit are such a big part of their success. The music you hear from them is who they are, and as a result, it changes, grows, and adds new qualities as time passes, without ever losing its core. That's such a great metaphor as to how we as human beings can navigate all the changes that come in life. If we're not afraid to open ourselves up to new possibilities while staying true to who we are, we can not only manage the inevitable changes that come in life, we can celebrate them. And that's kind of the spirit behind the final After 7 track I'm going to leave you with. One that's sure to put a smile on your face and a bounce in your step. Before we get there, remember to check out After 7's brand new album, Timeless, and all of their latest projects at after7music.com. And for more great music and interviews with your favorite artists, don't forget to check out more from The Positive Psychology of Pop Music at thepositivepsychologyofpopmusic.com. Thanks again to Kevon and Keith for taking the time to chat with me, and to each of you for listening. For The Positive Psychology of Pop Music, I'm Wesley Ryan, and with the song filled to the brim with infectious joy, this is Can't Stop from After 7.